Today, for those of you who like titles, my split sermon today is called He Whom We Serve. He Whom We Serve. We have been called into a royal service to serve a king who is above all kings. Never has there been a king or conqueror like him. He is coming with great power to defeat all the nations on the earth and will rule over them. It is he whom we now serve. Let's turn over to Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. He's coming in with the great wrath to make war against the nations. Let's start now on verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this king, who is called the Word of God, is the one by whom all things were created. As it says in John 1, verses 1 through 3, very familiar to us all, John 1, 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he has been given great power. In Matthew 28:18, we're not going to turn there, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So he has the power and the authority to prepare a kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as it says in 2 Peter 1:11. The kingdom of those he redeems from this earth. Let's turn over to Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. When he has completed his task, he will deliver the kingdom to his Father. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 28. 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning in verse 24. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he, God, has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So it is the kingdom of both Christ and his Father. You can read about that in Ephesians 5:5. So let's talk about his sacrifice. He came to this earth 2,000 years ago to sacrifice his life for the redemption of mankind. In John 1:14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He became the sacrificial lamb offered for the sins of the world. Let's turn over to John 1, verse 29. John 1, 29, one of my favorite scriptures. John 1:29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." His one sacrifice paid for the sins of all mankind. In Hebrews 10:10, it says, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." The next time he comes will be to defeat his enemies. Let's turn over to Hebrews 10, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool." So Jesus, the Lamb, who sacrificed his own life for us, is coming as the King of Kings to conquer the world. Let's turn back to Revelation 17, verse 14. Revelation 17, 14. Revelation 17, beginning in verse 14. "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Jesus Christ, the Word of God, who had more power than any other except his Father, gave up his glory to dwell among us, where he was abused, humiliated, and killed in a most painful way. to pay the debt of our sins so that we can enter his kingdom. What earthly king, leader, or even member of a royal family would do that for you? So let's talk about our service. What is our service? So Christ is worthy of our service. Let's look at Revelation 5, verses 9 through 14. Revelation 5, 9 through 14. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. God the Father called us to serve his Son, as it says in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." His Son has purchased us with his own blood, the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood, Acts 20:28. Let's also turn over to 1 Corinthians 7, 22 and 23. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 22 and 23. "For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. We are now indentured or bonded to them." Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6. Beginning in verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That bond of indenture is sealed when we were willingly baptized in Christ's name. As we all know what Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" The Apostle Peter described himself as a servant of our Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 1:1, we won't turn there, it says, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." A servant is one who is bonded to serve another. Most people in this world have a somewhat negative view of servitude, but this is not the case when serving Christ. Our bond of servitude has, in effect, set us free. In Matthew 11:29, Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Compared with how we used to serve sin, serving Christ is much easier. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," Christ says in Matthew 11:30. The Holy Spirit, which we received at baptism, is a portion of the very divine essence, mind, and nature of God. It gives us the same mindset as the one whom we serve. As it says in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It does not mean that we lose our individuality or our own personality. It means that we can now develop characteristics and thought processes similar to Christ's. With a similar mindset, we can be totally committed to achieving the outcomes of his commission. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3:27. So what is our role? What is our role? We have agreed to serve him as ambassadors. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to reconcile to God." Be reconciled to God. "We are ambassadors for his kingdom, residing in this world, which is still under the leadership of Satan, who is, of course, the god of this world, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, until Christ returns. Christ's motivation, which he laid down his own life for our salvation, was his love for us. Let's turn over to John 15:13, where it talks about Christ's love. John 15:13. In John 15:13, it is that very familiar scripture, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Having liberated us from bondage, he prefers to call us friends rather than servants. Let's look at John 15, verses 14 through 15. John 15, verse 14 and 15. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. He also calls us brethren. And my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Luke 8:21. He expects us to extend the love he has shown us to others. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." When he returns, we will serve him as a royal priesthood. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A spiritual priesthood throughout the millennium and beyond. Let's turn back to Revelation 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. As others are called to salvation in the future, we will extend the love of Christ to them as his priests. Let's turn back to Luke 19, verse 17 through 19. Luke 19. Beginning in verse 17. And he said to him, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, "Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, "You also be over 5 cities. So let's examine our reward. What is our reward? We have been liberated from the bondage of sin to serve Christ willingly. Let's look at Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The reward for our service is greater than anything we are capable of imagining at this stage. Let's turn over to that very familiar scripture in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. First Corinthians 2, "But as it is written," verse 9, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." It includes eternal life. Let's look at Romans 6, 21 through 23. Romans 6. Some additional very familiar scriptures to us. Romans 6, beginning in verse 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are to become part of God's family. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, start beginning in verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty, and joint heirs with Christ. In Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, he says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are joint heirs with Christ of the creation that we will be liberated from the bondage caused by Satan. Let's look at Romans 8, verses 18 through 23. Romans 8, through 23. Romans 8, beginning in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The Holy Spirit, with which we were sealed, is our guarantee of all this. Let's look at Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So, brethren, in conclusion, Jesus Christ's love for us is genuine. He showed that by laying down his own life for our salvation. He is the King of Kings who is coming to rule this world. He is coming to redeem mankind from the god of this world, Satan the devil. When all who are willing have entered his kingdom, it will be delivered up to his Father, and he will continue to rule under him forever. This is whom we serve.